We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, on WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no, gotta go to Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM, Joe and Evan on The Fan. Joe and Evan on WFAN.
All right, 203 on The Fan, and a very good Tuesday afternoon to you. Beningo and Roberts in the afternoon, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. Here at 6 o'clock, Mike Francesa will come your way. I think it's Tommy Lugauer on the other side of the glass in Manhattan. Ernie Acosta at home in Yonkers. We're live from the Town Fair Tire Studio, where, of course, nobody on top of nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody, bro, how are you?
Bro, I'm doing all right. How you feeling today?
I'm good. Not too bad. Beautiful day. Nice day. Supposed to be warm by the weekend. I'm here in the 70s for sure over the weekend.
Yeah, I got a good workout this morning. I was pushing giant rocks away from my backyard, pushing it far away to the back of my backyard.
Wow.
And it was quite a process. It was quite a process because some of these boulders or rocks were very, very heavy. I wasn't doing it on my own. Me and my father-in-law were just pushing these bad boys. And so I feel like I'm in the best shape of my life right now.
You feel good. Like our first-round draft choice, pushing trucks. That's the next thing you're going to be doing. You know, you're going to be pushing those trucks around, bro.
Yes, on a much smaller scale. Just call me Mekhi Becton, baby.
There you go, man. You know, about 150 pounds less,
Last night, during this
more than that.
Quarantine that we've had, I think a lot of us have watched a lot of these classic games, a lot of these older games, and the networks have done a great job. Like MLB Network today is showing all of the Yankee no-hitters throughout their history.
Oh, is that what they're doing?
Cool. Yeah, I like that.
They're starting with Don Larson or what?
I think they're ending with Don Larson. Yeah, I think I saw Dave Rigetti on the schedule, Cohn, David Wells, Doc Gooden. Remember that one? and then the capper, which is the greatest of them all. I mean, a World Series
perfect game.
The
Don Larson game is worth watching just to watch. I mean, just, you know, it's a classic game. I mean, what is it, 64 years ago now?
Yeah.
Stunningly, 64.
I did something the complete opposite last night, and I have no idea why I wanted to do this, but I figured let me just try something different because it's been 2 months. Instead of watching a classic game, I found a random game. I just
found
the most random old Mets game I could find.
Did you? What year?
1991 of all years.
Oh, that was a bad year, bro.
Well, here's what's funny about it.
Bobby Bonilla, Vince Coleman, right?
No, Vince Coleman's on
Bobby's
the team.
Bobby's not there yet, is he? I don't think Bonilla's there yet.
Bonilla's not there. It's a year before Bobby Bonilla.
Right.
Vince Coleman is there, but he's hurt, so he's not actually in
the
lineup.
Which was probably a plus for the Mets that day.
It was. And I actually went into the game. It was July 11th, 1991, coincidentally my birthday. And the pitching matchup, which also intrigued me, was Doc Gooden against Bruce Hurst. How about that?
That is, wow.
Now we have Bruce, and remember
was
Bruce Hurst.
San Diego Bruce Hurst at that point?
Exactly. He's a San Diego Padre. Of course, the Mets faced him in the World Series. And I just got a kick
Doc
right out of
it. Actually was still pretty good. 91, yeah. Doc was still pretty good pitcher that year.
And guess what? These two hooked up in a pitcher's duel. It turned out to be a fun game. And I wanted to avoid baseball reference because I actually wanted to watch the game not knowing the result. A part of the thing about these classic games is, well, we all know the result. We know Dave Righetti's going to pitch a no-hitter. We know the Mets are going to win the NLCS in 1986. We know which games they're going to win. when you find a random game,
you really don't know the outcome. Yeah,
and true. So I saw the Mets blow the lead in the seventh inning, which I was sort of annoyed about. Alejandro Pena contributed to it, and even
Alejandro Pena. Wow.
Yes, even John Franco tried to put together a four out save, but then they won the game in the bottom of the ninth inning on a game winning walk off hit by one of your all time favorite Mets.
Really. 1991, one of my all-time favorite Mets.
And, you know, I'll tell you, I'll give you this hint.
Was it Tommy Herr?
It was not Tommy Herr, yeah. Though he did pinch run in the game.
Okay.
But I give you a hint.
He was still there in 91.
He was. I'll give you a hint about this guy.
Yeah.
So he gets the game-winning hit. Now, I want to take you into this. The Mets did have a bad year in 1991, but
yes.
The Mets were red hot. This was right out of the All-Star break.
Right.
They were actually like seven games above .500.
Right. And they faded. They really just collapsed basically at that point in time.
Yes. They had a big winning streak in July and then just absolutely, to your point, fell apart. I think they were 8-21 in the month of August.
Sounds right.
So at this point, this is a big win. The Mets have won seven in a row.
Right. Greg
this
Jeffries.
Close, but not him. This guy gets the game-winning hit, Joe. I'm telling you, just walks off the field. He doesn't even celebrate with his teammates.
Oh, was it McReynolds?
There you go. Kevin McReynolds.
Joe,
this guy gets a game-winning hit. Shea is rocking through the TV. You know, Rusty Staub's excited. Fran Healy's excited. Ralph Kiner's pumped up. The Mets are red hot. I can feel my dad in the ballpark all excited. And Kevin McReynolds has this look on his face like he just wants to be anywhere but there, and he just walks off the field. Everybody else is celebrating, and McReynolds is like, all right, get me the hell out of here. Let me go fishing.
He had to go duck hunting.
Yes. It looked that way.
Unbelievable.
It looked that way.
You know, if they had, like, Naked and Afraid back then in 1991, McReynolds might have been on it. You never know.
That's right. That's right.
He might have been venturing through the woods, you know, eating snakes or whatever they do.
No question. Oh, man. But it was funny, man, seeing these guys. Greg Jeffries was in the midst of a streak in which Bud Harrelson would not start him. Basically, he was riding the pine for the Met bench.
Right.
And he actually pinch hit late
Bud
in the game.
Bud was the manager. Right.
Yeah, Bud was the manager. And the other thing that jumped out at me is Mackie Sasser came into the game late.
Right.
And
couldn't throw the ball back to the pitcher?
It was painful.
Right? No, it was amazing how he had like this mental block with that.
It was crazy, but then I forget who the base runner was, but I think it was Thomas Howard, the leadoff hitter for the Padres back then. Mm-hmm. He tries to steal second base, and Mackie throws this just perfect throw to second, this laser beam. So he can't get the ball back to the mound. He's double clutching 15 times in a row. Yet when the going gets tough and he needs to throw a guy out at second base, he throws a laser beam. He looks like Johnny Bench. It was incredible. It makes no sense.
Mackie Sasser always reminded me of Richard Todd, because like Richard Todd would always like pat the ball like three times before he threw it.
Yes.
Just to give the defensive line and the secondary a little extra time.
To pick him off, right? So my advice to anybody out there is go on YouTube and just find the most random game possible, especially when you don't know the result. See, that's the new wrinkle to watching these games.
That's the good part. Right. That's the good thing about it.
And which
we don't know the final score.
And what's funny is I was actually getting a little anguish as they blew the lead. I'm like, my God, Doc pitched great. Wow. And now they blew the lead.
How many innings did Doc go in that game? Seven?
He went 7 2/3 innings.
Right.
And
what was the score when he left again? They were winning when he left?
He left the game with the lead, but guys on base. So he ended up giving up all three runs.
But
he left with guys on base.
I understand.
And he threw 124 pitches in that game.
Not in this world.
No, not in this world. But today is also the big meeting between the owners and the players.
Oh, that's
where the owners are going to submit.
The revenue sharing stuff. Yep.
Well, it's not just that. Look, that's the big one.
Well, that's the big issue, though.
No doubt. That is the biggest one on the board. That's the worry I think we all have. But everything else is on the table, too. And I mentioned this yesterday when we had Vendrellik on. Their proposal calls for an 82-game season. The players can easily say, we want more.
Right.
Because think about it.
Right.
The one thing they agree to is to be paid via how many games they play.
Of course.
A prorated amount. So
the
players may say, hey, actually, we want 95 games, or we want 100 games. We want to get paid more. I'm not sure. They may say, look, it's a health risk to play anyway, so we'll stick with the 82. But all of those things are negotiable. I doubt they're going to balk at the fact that the owners are offering a universal DH for the season. I'm sure that's something the players are going to gobble up.
No.
I think one thing that's interesting is the taxi squad roster that's being proposed. They're proposing a 30-man roster, so a little bit bigger than what would have been your normal roster this year. Remember, they had expanded the rosters from 25 to 26 this season. This was going to be the first year of the 26-man roster. They proposed a 30-man roster and then a 20-man taxi squad, which is going to be incredibly important because it's very unlikely there's going to be any minor league baseball. So if a guy gets hurt or if a guy's ineffective, I mean, we know about, you know, sending pitchers down and calling pitchers up. You could obviously go to one of these taxi squad guys. I don't know how you're going to keep them sharp. I mean, that's going to be a little bit of a challenge to keep these 20 players going. I don't know if batting practice and bullpen sessions are really going to do it. So there could be some negotiation around that. But, Joe, no, you hit on the big issue, and that's are the players going to dig in the sand and say no go on revenue sharing?
Look, they have to. They cannot let money stop this season from happening because it just looks terrible. I mean, it just, you know, this is not the time to be quibbling over this. They have to get it done, and, you know, to me, they have to get it done soon. I mean, let's be honest about it.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing you hit on, man. They probably have 2 weeks.
Yeah.
To get a deal done.
I would say 2 weeks. If they want it, because they want to get spring training in like in the middle of June, right?
Right. That's their goal.
So I would say
15th.
By the end of this month. Now, we're in the 12th now. So we got, all right. So I would say by May 30th, 31st, you got to have this done.
Yeah, you really, you can't waste that much time. And that's the thing about negotiations. Most of the time, you wait until the very last second. You know, you make this deadline of 11:59 p.m. or the deadline is midnight. You don't cut a deal until 11:59. So I think the next 2 weeks, for us as baseball fans, for those that are hopeful that we are going to get some semblance of a baseball season, you know, we're going to hear a lot of things over the next 2 weeks that are going to be negative, that are going to make you think they're not going to be able to cut a deal. And I don't know if it's just an urge to be positive, Joe, during this time, or maybe it's just being rational, that they cannot blow this thing up over money.
No.
If it's health concerns, that's different.
Well,
different.
Now you're talking about something else again. No.
You know, Sean Doolittle, a guy the Mets own, but is also a pretty good reliever for the Washington Nationals. I just want to point that out.
Yes.
They do own him. But Doolittle tweeted a lot yesterday about some of the health concerns, and that's fair. I think all of us completely understand that.
Look, I think if a guy did not want to play, I don't think you could really hold it against him. Now, I don't know if he should be getting paid if he's not going to play. I mean, I don't know how you're going to work that, some kind of deal with that. But I couldn't fault the guy for not wanting to play.
I don't either, and I don't think that most of us would be spending time on talk radio calling in to bash the Yankee or bash the Met that said they didn't want to do this.
No, definitely not.
Of course they shouldn't get paid. You're right about that. Maybe there's a hold on one's contract, and who knows how many guys would do that, how many players would say, I don't feel comfortable doing it. I think the fact, Joe, that the plan calls to play these games in your own ballpark, where you can still be with your family, you're not being sequestered in Arizona or Florida, I think we'll lower that number. I know when we talked about this last month,
and
that
was the
travel
too, and the fact that if you're only going to be traveling a limited amount now because you're only going to be playing the teams in your time zone, basically,
right,
in your geographic region.
Right, and you can also, and I know it's not ideal from a scheduling perspective, but I think we all agree that this is 1 year in which a lot of things may not be ideal, whether it's the amount of playoff teams or the schedule or the amount of games in a series or, you know, in my case, you know how anti-DH in the NL I am. I'm even willing saying, hey, for the year, you do what you got to do. Maybe you have less road trips because, you know, when the Mets play the Nationals or the Yankees play the Red Sox, they get a bunch of those games done in one fine swoop.
Well, you know what? I wouldn't play 9 games in a row. I know you mentioned something like that. But I could see, you know, instead of the standard 3-game series, maybe every series is a 5-game series.
You know what? That's exactly what I was thinking, man.
You play 5 games. You don't want to get too 9 games is too many. You play 5, and okay, that's fine. And, you know, move to the next whatever.
Yeah, I was thinking about that this morning. I think that's the better number. It's funny you said 5 because that was the exact number I was thinking. Reason why 5 is actually the perfect number is from a competitive standpoint, you don't want the same starting pitchers in the same series twice.
Yeah.
I would try to stay away from that.
Yeah, you don't want that. That's a great point. Right.
So if you're going to play, let's say, you know, 10 games against each division rival, it's probably going to be a little bit more. It only means one trip. So things like that, I think, can certainly be hammered out. The playoff situation, you know, I don't want this to be permanent. I don't want Major League Baseball to use this season as an excuse to make things permanent. And What I hold out hope is that in 1981, look, they clearly said we needed to add revenue. That's why they added the playoff teams for that 1 year. That's why they made it a split season. They didn't do it for a competitive fairness reason. They did it to make money and try to make up for the money that they lost during the work stoppage. And that's fine. What's great, though, Joe, is that it took them 13 years to permanently add the extra playoff teams.
Right.
And
right.
I'm hopeful, I'm not confident, but I'm hopeful that that would be the same thing. That you want to add more playoff teams season, fine, I get it. You need to make up for the revenue. But seven playoff teams in each league, bro, long term, is way too much. You're basically becoming the NBA.
Well, look, if they wait 13 years to do that, I'm good. Because at that point, I'll be, you know, God knows where I'll be. If I'll be.
I get it.
You know?
And you know what?
I'll certainly be sunning myself on a regular basis, I can tell you that, if nothing else.
And my attitude is, hey, at least we get 13 more years of just the five playoff teams.
Right.
Because when they added from four to five a couple of years ago, I loved it and you loved it because it made division races matter. We didn't love it.
And also, we like that one game wild card because I like that sudden death kind of game. I think it's great, that game.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. If they wanted to make seven permanent, not just this year, forget this year. I get this year they're going to add teams. If they want to make seven permanent, could they just have the three division champions and then four wild cards? And then you got two wild card games, winner take all, instead of one. And then the two winners face each other in the other wild card game. So basically, you have a mini tournament of the four wild card teams as opposed to, you know, one versus seven, or one gets the bye, two versus seven, and three versus six, and all that kind of stuff. I don't love it, but I would be more okay with that because it still means that, hey, when you don't win your division, you're not really in the playoffs. Right. You kind of have to earn your way into the real playoffs.
Right. No, but, look, I don't mind that for only 1 year, though. But only for the 1 year. I mean, I'm with you on the five. I mean, to me, it's perfect with that many teams.
Really, I know. Is. I know. They really have, in my book, such a good playoff system right now.
Well, it's all about money, bro. And it will only continue to be more about money as time goes on.
No, I know. I right now, you've got 5 out of 15 teams in each league making the playoffs. That's 33%.
No. Okay, which is fine.
It's fine. It's not 1968 where 10% of the teams made the playoffs.
Right.
You know, but 33% seems like a reasonable number. When you start to jump into NBA and NHL territory, you're taken away from the regular season. And I'll tell you what it would do. You never, Joe, other than 154, ever talk about really shortening the MLB season. But we talk about it with the NBA and the NHL. And I think the reason we talk about it is because we look at the regular season as not mattering that much. Because everybody makes the playoffs, or at least half the teams make the playoffs. If you get into a world permanently, and again, we're not just talking about this year. If we get into a world permanently in which 7 of the 15 teams in each league are making the playoffs, we're going to say, what the heck do we need 162 games for?
No, you're right. It's too many games. I mean, 162 games to eliminate, you know, barely half the league. I mean, I'm with you, man. You got to make 162 games more special than, you know, having too many teams in the playoffs. I mean, you just have to.
And it's, they have a plan right now, the one that they've been using for the last, I guess it's been 7 years now, that I think has really perfected it. It's perfected it in that winning the division is a big deal.
Yeah. Right.
But we're not eliminating everybody from a playoff race. You know, you can still be a low 80s to mid 80s
team.
But
if you don't win that division, you also got to play a very precarious one and done game.
Yeah.
Which is, why not? I mean, I don't see where, you know, everybody, wow, it should be 2 out of 3. No, I mean, why? You're still getting your chance to extend your season, but you got to win this game. It just comes down to that.
They finally have something so right. Between 1995 and 2012, we always looked at this and said there's just something wrong about it. There's something wrong that the Yankees and the Red Sox are in a pennant race in 2005, and nobody remembers it.
And
you're
it really
right
doesn't matter because
it
both teams are in the playoffs. I mean, okay, one gets the home field advantage, but okay, fine, big deal.
Does anybody remember the Yankees-Red Sox 2005 pennant race?
No.
Because it didn't matter. They finished tied for first place. They finished tied for first place. Nobody remembers it because it didn't matter. Mm. And they made it right by adding the second wild card team and saying, hey, we're going to put something so big on the line to win the division. You don't have to play a winner-take-all game. So I guess it's just frustrating as a baseball fan that they finally have what I think is this great playoff system and they want to ruin it long term. Short term, I get it. You need to add the revenue. But long term, why mess with such a great system?
Yeah, well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.